Well, what a delight to be in a setting like this. There is nothing like it anywhere in the world, what we're enjoying in this moment. I have been thinking what I'd like to say today in terms of reminiscence. And while I was doing this, I saw that program on TV called Ancestry. You probably have seen it and have been surprised at how they are able to go back into our ancestry and bring it to life. And a young man was on this particular time with Jewish background, American Jewish background, but he was saying that through his ancestry search, he found out that he had direct ties with many who had suffered through the Holocaust in Europe. And this is what he said. I am here, but I have not come alone. And as I think of us in this setting today, the happiness of rejoicing in the Lord, this is exactly true of us. And I am so thankful to be here today. Everybody's guessing how old I am. And I can surprise you, I think, because I have had my 96th birthday. But when I was 17, the Lord Jesus came and talked to me personally and invited me to be a pastor and a preacher in all of this involvement. And so I've been on the road a while, but one of the happiest times in my journey was when I was invited to come to Whitehorse and invite this congregation into the family that is called the Canada Pacific District. And I am so thankful for that decision. And soon after searching for a pastor, I found a couple at the seminary and invited them to come. They had another year to finish before their seminary term was over. But they came up in the summer, and everybody liked each other so much that they invited them to go back to seminary, finish his degree, and then come back to be pastor. And what a choice that was. And I am so happy to be a part of that choice. Now today, I just want to leave a little thought from you that comes out of the first psalm. You know, the psalms are a very, very special part of our scriptures. The pastor used one of the psalms so beautifully as our service began. But I was thinking of this psalm that says, those who are blessed of the Lord will be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth fruit in its season, its leaf will not wither, and whatever it does will prosper. So here we are. Let me give it to you. Out of the context of the first psalm, the first thing for us to think about today would be our roots. And as we have an anniversary celebration, we do not have to put our tongue in cheek in any place when we talk about our ancestry and about our roots and how God has planted us where we should be for his glory. The second thing it speaks of, not roots, but also fruit. And as I was sitting here today looking at your young people praising God with the instruments and all, I thought, what beautiful fruitage has happened in Whitehorse during the time that I have been aware of what is happening. And I rejoice in what God is doing through you and for you and has yet planned for you in this wonderful, wonderful assignment. The third thing is health. It says that this blessed person, this blessed church, having a lovely anniversary, will be, the leaf will not wither. And in our spiritual sense, our health is holiness. And the Lord Jesus has come to be ours in this direction. But the fourth thought I'd like to lift out of that, whatever is going on will be good. And I was thinking of happiness. And I've had a little time on the road, but I tell you, the Lord God has arranged for us to have a happy, happy journey. And I thank God for your record, but I thank God for the thoughts that are ours today to reach up and say, have your way, Lord, have your way. Thank you so much. And may God bless us.
Thank you, Norm. It's a joy to be with you today. I'm glad to be here. When your hair gets to be the color of Chuck Muxworthy's and mine, you're kind of glad to be anywhere. And so it's a delight to be with you. I was elected in 1995, and not knowing a thing about being a district superintendent, I began to work out my schedule to visit the churches. And not knowing much about the geology or the weather patterns of British Columbia or the Yukon, I decided to come to Whitehorse in late November. I learned after that to plan for maybe May or June, but when I arrived, I was given Gabriel's room in the basement of the parsonage. And I appreciate, thanks Gabriel, every time I came, I stayed in your bedroom, and it's well located about a meter away from the furnace room. And I remember how excited Pastor Norm was to tell me about all the developments that had taken place in the church, not the least of which was that they had installed a new propane furnace. And it was right across from Gabriel's room. It was about a meter away, and the door was open, and the door to my bedroom was open, and so I was introduced to the propane furnace, and I was told by Norm that they had just installed it. And he said, it's, you know, propane can be dangerous. We have the tank, which is about 300 meters at the end of the property here. You don't want to have an explosion on the propane tank. And so I said, Norm, how's the furnace working out? Oh, he said, we don't know. We haven't fired it up yet. So I said, well, when does that take place? He said, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. And I could read the morning headlines, you know. Rapture takes up new district superintendent. We didn't know him that well, but we'll miss him. So that was one of my first introductions to the excitement that Heather and Norman had about their new assignment here in Whitehorse. I remember staying overnight at Fox Lake in a cabin, about 40 kilometers up the road, is it, Norm? loving couple had said, sure, come and stay the night. By the way, our cabin doesn't have running water. It doesn't have heat, electric heat. And so I was led through the forest in the snow down toward the lake, and I saw this tiny little house, and I said, is that my cabin? He said, no, no, those are the facilities. Those are where you'll... You can fill in the blank. So beyond that, I went to the cabin, and it was heated with a wonderful Quebec heater. You know, those oil heaters with a little control on the top. And it was hot in there. And so I got into bed that night, and I lay there, and it got hotter and hotter and hotter. And I thought, in the abject darkness, it was as dark as a thousand midnights down in a cypress swamp. And I felt my way around to the Quebec heater. I said, I got to turn this down. And I reached the handle, and pop, it went off. 3 o'clock in the morning. By about 6 o'clock in the morning, I had gathered every blanket I could find. I could wrap myself. And of course, I had to go to church that morning, 45 miles down the road. And so I got up, I boiled some water, shaved, showered as best I could. And I went through the forest a few hundred yards, feet, to the facilities. And the facilities had a sort of a half door. And I dare I say this, I sat on an 8-inch styrofoam pad. It was one of those one-holers, you know something? And so I could look well over the half door. And I saw the snow-covered Fox Lake and the trees, and I could see the rabbits, the snow rabbits jumping up and down. As I sat there that morning, I thought, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? And when I leave, will it have made any difference at all? You know, they could find me like a frozen pine pole in this little cubby hole in the morning. Anyway, I made it back to the church that morning. That was one of my reminiscences. And then I remember taking a free ride with Gabriel and Elizabeth from Skagway on the White Horse, White Pass Railway, up to the top of the, and reversing the seats and coming back down again. That was gratis. That was a free ride we got from the church that day. And then, of course, I want to move along quickly. The final highlight had for me, and many others probably across the years, has been to view the video of the time that Heather shot her first bear. Anybody ever seen that video? It's a great video. I saw it one Sunday afternoon when I was at the parsonage. And, of course, I was regaled with the story about shooting the bear. And the final scene, of course, was, I think, shot from back in White Horse, from the roof of the parsonage, looking down into the garden, where the bear was spread-eagled on the picnic table, and Heather stood up beside it with a knife, ready to skin and prepare that bear for the winter season. I remember that. But I also remember the joy that I discovered when I came among this congregation. I remember the sense of expectancy, the sense of anticipation of what God was doing. Even in the difficult times, God was very much present here. The congregation was a modest size compared to this wonderful congregation this morning. And all your faces looking at me expecting great things, and there's not much coming, I guess. But I always sensed that there was a sense of joy and anticipation about what God was going to do in the days ahead. And the reports would come back that the daycare had started, that it was developing and became one of, if not the leading day children's programs in all of Whitehorse. And Norman had arranged to add to the church a daycare section and then another lobby and so forth. There was always something happening, and new people were there every time I came over the 10 years that I served. And so as I conclude this morning, I would like to salute the resiliency, the tenacity, the resourcefulness, the commitment, the giftedness, and the dedication of Pastor Norm and Heather and their family, their children, their spouses, and now their grandchildren, and you as a congregation, for all that God through you has done and is continuing and will continue to do in the days ahead. I am grateful that I ever had the chance to come among you over the years for those few times. I was saddened that Joy could not be with me. My wife couldn't be with me. But I know that if she could, she would send her love and send her greetings and send her thankfulness for all that God is doing and has done and will do through you in the days ahead. I have no songs to sing other than to say, God bless you and keep you in the center of his will in the days ahead. Amen.
You will notice that I'm the only one who has arrived at the pulpit with notes today. The reason is I have a reputation. And my reputation is that I'm always very succinct and focused. I never wander around when I'm speaking. And so I want to maintain that that reputation. So I'm going to stick to my notes. Vernita and I made our first visit to you in the spring of 2006. We knew better than to come in November. And since it was our first visit, as you would expect, Pastor Norm led us on a memorable tour of the church building. Of course, he was acquainting us not only with the building, but with the type of church family that we are we were meeting here in Whitehorse. Your view of ministry and your place in your community began to come into focus for me that day as we walked through the building. The sanctuary was, of course, the largest room. It was the first place we visited after we got through the foyer, which is an important part of the building in its own right. But we lingered in the sanctuary a while. Its purpose is so obvious. It's where you come week by week by week to sing and to pray and to listen to God and to the Word of God being preached. And today is just a heartwarming experience for us to be here worshiping with you in the sanctuary. We moved on down into the lower auditorium and the adjoining rooms, which of course were used for the purposes of Christian education, Sunday school. It was what you would expect, used for Sunday school on Sundays, and housed the child care ministries that that Wes has mentioned all day and every day of the week except Saturdays and Sundays. We went out into the yard and we looked at the equipment in the yard that was specifically designed to minister to those children. It was well equipped, it was well maintained. It told us that the children of the community matter to the Whitehorse Church of the Nazarene. We moved on from there to the kitchen. Again, well equipped and well used. And I had been a pastor for a while, and I knew from my own personal experience that the kitchen was the hub of the ministry of hospitality. That was the focus of the people who prepared meals for the children. They didn't just go into the kitchen for the fun of it. They went there because they were in ministry, working hard to provide hospitality to the people. They prepared to serve the church family during the many times for we gathered to enjoy food and fellowship. But then we walked through a little bit further, and we found a very interesting room. Norm opened the door, and I looked in, and my stars, it was equipped with tools, mind you, all kinds of tools, power tools and hand tools, a workbench. And Pastor Norm, sort of in his way, he offhandedly mentioned that that was where people from the neighborhood would drop off their computers and their electronic devices for repair. For free! I couldn't believe it. He offered free service, repair service, because it was an everyday need of everyday people, and the church was able to respond as they saw the need. And by the way, one day I was blessed by that very supply of help. I remember driving down south on the Alaska Highway. We were heading to Carcross and then over to Tagish. And Norm says, "Why don't you drive?" I said, "Okay." He said, "Let me see your computer." And there, right in the front seat of the van, Norm took my computer apart, took the motherboard out, I think that's what you call it, is it? Or a hard drive or something. Took it out, took the whole thing apart, right on the Alaska Highway, and rebuilt the thing. That computer's still in my garage, working well. So there you go. And then I looked at another room, and lo and behold, there was used clothing ready to be distributed to the neighborhood people who might have need. And we remember these many years following that initial visit. I agree with you, Wes. That feeling of joy that came to us as we spoke that day about the mission and the ministry of the church family in Whitehorse. Before any people were here in the building at all, just as we were touring the building, we caught a little bit about the vision and the mission that was in the heart of the people. And we realized that here was a group of people whose love of our Lord actually affected your outlook, actually impacted the way you thought about and responded to your community. Our Whitehorse congregation, we realized, was not simply or primarily focused inwardly on yourselves, asking the question, "What can you do for me?" You view people the way Jesus views people, as people of value, as people who are important to and loved by God Himself. A lot of churches, sometimes churches, when they go through a time of introspection, ask the question, which you alluded to, Pastor Wes, if we were to disappear from the community, would anybody know? Would anybody realize it? Would anybody miss us? And the answer in Whitehorse is, they certainly would miss you. I sat here, we sat here in 10 years ago when we celebrated 50 years of ministry, and I heard the then premier of the Yukon Territory and the then mayor of Whitehorse stand right here where I'm standing and list off all of the ministry and the blessings that this church had provided for the people of Whitehorse and surrounding community. I was amazed. So the primary question, made obvious by the ways in which you use your facility and the ways in which you spend your time, is, what are the needs of the people around us, and how can we respond to meet those needs? And in light of this posture of giving to others, God has seen fit to bless you, the givers. That's the way it works, isn't it? You give, and God blesses. In response, God has blessed you with an inner joy and a sense of purpose that keeps you focused and calls you forward, and is a tremendous blessing to us who have the privilege of visiting with you. We witness your love for God and your inner joy every time we're here and have the pleasure of joining in a Sunday worship service or participate in a communal meal or rub shoulders with you as you participate in a district event. And so, we say with the Apostle Paul as he addressed the church at Philippi one day, "May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace Every time I think of you, he says, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Praise the Lord.